The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
All right, there we go. Had a little bit of a tech issue, but hey, it's a nice Friday. How are you all doing out there? Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And my name's Matt Select. Today is April 1st, 2022. Now, I'm tempted to do some April Fool's jokes and things, but I don't have any. So I'm going to just get serious here and talk about stuff. And often on Fridays, I'll do hate mail, so maybe I'll do that. But if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have 5 open lines. And if you're new to the show, what we do here is answer questions on the Bible. We do all kinds of stuff. The Bible, we do politics, UFOs, aliens, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam. Did I say Catholicism already? I say so many of them so quickly, sometimes I forget. All right, now, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do some hate mail. I'm going to read some hate mail to you right now, because I enjoy it. I enjoy it. People tell me that what they like about my hate mail is how I react to it. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if there's anything good here, but let's check it out. So, I noticed that you forgot to mention the Mormons also have horns on their heads. Now, let me just tell you, this is what the email says. In all the Mormons I've met, I've never seen any horns on their heads. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. How could one possibly be offended by reading another man's ignorance? I don't know, could you? Anyway, he says, I found your lack of intellect from the subject amusing. Oh, wow. You really want to put us in our place. Start by getting the terminology correct. May the Lord bless you with wisdom, discernment, and knowledge with respect to all beliefs in every land. Yeah, see, that's not very good. You know, it's kind of weak. Let's try this one. You must pray to the angels and saints and the Mother of God as the Bible clearly teaches for your salvation. Okay, now, you see, if we were to have a heresy fest day, that would be one of the ones I'd be reading for heresy. Check this out. Pray to the angels, saints, and Mary as the mother, as the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that unless you go to the book of Second Moronicles next to First Stupidification. But no, it doesn't teach that in the Bible at all. This guy goes on and says, the Protestants are so sad for believing in false teachings. Well, how would he know? He obviously doesn't know what the Bible teaches. He says, they go against the clear teaching of Scripture, Protestantism, and not praying to angels and saints is one of the most unbiblical things there is. The Protestants are so sad. Okay, mister, you know everything about the Bible. I would suggest that what you do is show me, if anybody can, show me the Bible where you're praying to saints and where you're praying to angels and praying to Mary. This is just idolatry. You know, that's what it is. It's idolatry. He goes on, the Protestants, sadly, are not going to heaven, for they protest against Jesus Christ and his clear teaching. No, you've got that wrong. That's a good one, though. I like that one. That's a good insult. All right. Ooh, how about this? Your Jesus, this is another email. Your Jesus is a false Jesus. Your Christ is a false Christ. Your Christ never taught that it is necessary to accept all his truths to be saved. What? Where did the Carm never says that you got to accept all his truths to be saved? That's not what the Carm says. That's not what the Bible says. Your Christ teaches that even those who reject his teachings, Muslims, Jews, can enter heaven. What? This guy does not have all his paws in the litter box. That's for sure. Your false Christ teaches that baptism is not necessary. Oh, well, baptism is not necessary for salvation. It's just not. So I'm just telling you, it's not necessary. I'll debate people on it. The true Jesus said that this in his last command of the apostles, also called the Great Commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. Yeah, you see, people, they don't think. Seriously, this is a good example of how not to think. So where does it say in that text that it's necessary for salvation? doesn't say that. It says, going therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth. Where does it say you must do these things in order to be saved? That's not what it says. But people read this stuff. I do this all the time with Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, with Catholics, with Eastern Orthodox. You know, they'll read a verse like this. This is a good example. I'll say, where does it say you have to be baptized to be saved? They go, well, go right here. Go to Matthew 28, 18 or 19. It says, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I say, well, where does it say it's necessary for salvation or to be saved? You go, of course it's what it means, Matt. And they can't even read it. And then they go vote and drive cars. Oh, it's terrifying. Jesus said, answered, amen, amen, I say to you, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy, now he's getting someplace, and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God unless a man be born again. By these, the Savior declared the necessity of baptism. Really? Where does it say baptism? It says, born again of water and the Holy Spirit. But where does it say it's baptism? And how do you know it's not the water of the womb? Because Jesus says in the next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and the spirit is spirit. Because Nicodemus had said right before it, enter into the mother's womb again. Then he says, Jesus says, you must be born again. And then after, you know, this verse, got to be born of water and the spirit. He says, if you're born, you know, as is born of the flesh is flesh, and the spirit is spirit. It's my honest opinion. So what I believe is that what he's referring to was the natural birth and the spiritual birth. That's what I think he was. So there we go. And, you know, this guy doesn't know. He couldn't exegete his way out of a wet paper bag. So he couldn't do that. It's just bad news. All right. So I got to do one more thing here. I just realized something. I got to change change that to that. Now, okay, there we go. I got rushed at the last second when things weren't working right. There we go. So now you guys can hear me in the room. All right. Let's do one more. And then we'll get to the callers. 877-207-2276. This is awesome. Oh, I've never been called this before. This is good. To the Antichrist, Matt Slick. Now that, see, if you're going to do hate mail, that's how you do it. That's a good insult. To the Antichrist, Matt Slick. I didn't know I was an Antichrist. He says, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but I've studied with them, and I've also studied the Bible. Now, I find it strange that your website, that in your website you have different religions, however, the only religion you against is Jehovah's Witnesses. What? You know, if I were to meet someone like this and they said that, I'd be staring at him like, are you okay? You got something wrong? You dyslexic? You're legally blind? What? I mean, what is it? The only religion I'm against is Jehovah's Witnesses. He didn't read everything else? The Mormons, the Catholics, the Muslims, you know, the Raelians. There's all kinds of stuff I've written in there that is unbiblical. Wow. You know, it's amazing to me. It is. Okay, let's go on. I don't see anything that you saying biblically other than saying you have had this that. Yeah. Yeah, that's when you got to, you know, wonder, you know, are they okay? Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe you hit her head or something. Stop hating, since you call yourself a man of God, then show us. Then show you what? Stop trying to be famous about others. What? Jesus wouldn't have done what you're doing. Okay, yeah, so let's just say there's some issues there. Obviously, this guy doesn't know what he's doing either. All right, let's just jump on the phone. Mitchell from Charlotte, North Carolina, welcome. You're on the air. Let's try it again. Let's try this. There we go. Mitchell, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, hello. There we go. How you doing?
There we go. All right. What's up, buddy? What do you got, man?
So should we observe, I guess, any of the books? Is it called the Apocrypha, when the Catholics get there, like Second Maccabees and all that?
What do you mean by observe? Take it seriously? Consider it scripture?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. No. So where exactly did that come from? Sorry.
The Apocrypha are just writings between the Book of Malachi and the Birth of Christ. There were some books written in that period. That's all. And they are not scripture. They're just not in the Bible. Now, the Catholics added them in 1546, and they did it in response to the Protestant Reformation, but the Apocrypha has lots of problems in it, let's just say. And the Jews never considered the Apocryphal books to be Scripture. And we Protestants should not either, and Roman Catholics should not. But, hey, you know, they do all kinds of stuff that's not biblical. Okay?
So, I mean, I just don't understand how, you know, if, I guess, how you can't see the, if they're, you know, the, I don't know the books, but I just feel like there would be, you know, it would, if you were to add that into the original scriptures, then you would see some kind of, like, contradiction. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
there are problems in the Apocrypha. One of the things is it condones the use of magic in Tobit 6, 5 through 7. Then the angel said, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee. For these are necessary for useful medicines. And when you've done so, he roasted the flesh, took it and rested salt on it, etc. Then Tobias asked the angel and said to him, I beseech you, brother Azarias, tell me what remedies are these things good for? Which, you know, it had keeping this fish. The angel said, if you put a little piece of its heart on coals, the smoke will drive away evil spirits. So the smoke of the heart of a fish on a fire drives away evil spirits. And that's in Tobit 6, 5 through 7. And then in Tobit 4, 11, for alms deliver from all sin. That means giving money. Delivers from all sin and from death, and will not suffer the soul to go into darkness. And Tobit 12, 9, for alms deliver from death, and stuff like that. And then, Second Maccabees, this is in the Apocrypha, 12:43, in making a gathering, he sent 12,000 drachmas of silver to Jerusalem for sacrifice to be offered for the sins of the dead. And it's just, you know, it's got errors in it, historical errors. It's uninspired. Hey, you got some noise back there, Ben. You got some noise going on.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. So did I answer your question?
Yeah, so you said that was added after the Protestant Reformation?
No. These are written before the birth of Christ, and they're not Scripture, okay?
Okay, makes sense.
All right,
thanks, bud.
Okay, talk to you later. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, the number is 877-207-2276. Let's get to Doug from Raleigh, North Carolina. Doug, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing? First time caller.
All right. Good. What do you got, buddy?
I don't want to sound like an activist or anything, but I have a topic that's bugging me. And that I'm wondering why people in the pulpit do not ever discuss the obesity epidemic in this country that is causing so many problems.
I don't know.
I know this is not your typical hot button topic, and but I think it's important.
Well, hold on, we got a break. Let's talk about it after the break, okay? Because it is important.
Sure.
Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. Be right back.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have four open lines on this wonderful Friday. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. Let's get back to Doug from Raleigh, North Carolina. Doug, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, I guess a little bit of unusual topic, not the typical topic. I was just wondering why obesity is not discussed in the church and the obesity epidemic. It seems like everybody wants to avoid this topic. You know, politicians never talk about it. People in the church never talk about obesity. People like you never address the topic. I've never heard anybody on the radio talk about this subject.
Well, I have over the years, occasionally. It doesn't come up very often. People ask me, and I'll talk about it. But the reason I know about this topic is because I actually know someone who is overweight because of cancer. I think it's anti-cancer med, a certain kind of problem he's got, and he takes medicine. The side effect is he's overweight. I also know that there are people who have just metabolisms that just it doesn't, you know, it's very, very, very difficult for them to lose weight. I have a friend who, a lady friend with my wife, it was actually her friend, and they went out one weekend, and my wife is slender. She's always been slender. She's always thin, just the way she is. And so they both went out and both ate exactly the same meals and the same amounts. My wife's friend did this just to test, and she gained 2 or 3 pounds, and my wife didn't gain anything. So there are people that just have difficulties. What we need to talk about is what's called gluttony. Gluttony is the issue, and that does need to be addressed, and being a glutton is wrong. Well, what is gluttony? Gluttony occurs when you're at a dinner table in this context, and you're eating far more than you need to, and it happens over and over and over. That's gluttony. That's sinful. Shouldn't do that. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we should take care of our bodies. So for me, example, I'm 65 years old. I have a sedentary lifestyle. So what I'm doing is cutting back on meals, cutting back on this, going to the gym, working out. In fact, I'll probably take a 20-minute walk around the block here later today as I'm trying to do things. And it's tough. You know, I've lost some weight, and then I'm hovering at a certain place. So there's difficulty. So some people have legitimate difficulty issues. So what you're talking about, though, what needs to be addressed, like I said, just to reiterate, is gluttony. That is sinful. It is abusing food as a comfort thing instead of Christ, using it to satisfy you, and you dive into purely physical satisfaction needs. And so you can have gluttony in several areas, and it could be in TV, it could be with music, it could be with food, but generally it's associated with gluttony. So yeah, it's a topic that needs to be addressed. When the scriptures teach it, they should be spoken of. Absolutely.
I read an article a couple of years ago about how Seventh-day Adventists have a lifespan that's 10 years longer than the average person.
Yep.
And they seem to think that it's because they have clean lifestyles and make healthy choices.
Yeah,
and
it's because they eat better
food.
All
be making everybody should be making those healthy choices. I mean, we seem to be, this topic seems to be getting swept under the rug. No one wants to talk about it.
No, I agree. And, it's an important thing.
And the health-related issues are just bankrupting this country. High blood pressure, cancer, all this, even COVID could be connected to obesity.
Yeah, it could. In fact, I just recently got diagnosed with diabetes too. And
that's another classic one. Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right. And so I've lost 15 pounds since that diagnosis, and my A1C went down to normal. So, you know, diet does have and body weight has a huge impact on our life. I noticed that the lighter I am, the better I feel. It is just tough, though. I got to tell you, what I recommend to people who have this problem, I understand metabolisms are different. Don't do it all at once. Just do one change, one thing. Do it for a week. Maybe you don't eat that certain something. You just do that for a week. And then that becomes a habit. And then the next week, you do one more thing. Just stuff like that. You take a 5-minute walk. You take a 10-minute walk. You take a 20-minute. You work up, and just measure once a week on a scale. You'll go up and down, and you'll have to, you know, you'll do better. The reason I know about a lot of this is because my wife's health issues. She has some eating things as well on top of everything else. So I've been paying attention, but you can do it. And you're right. It
I'm
needs
65.
To be talked about. Oh, me too.
Mm-hmm. I'm 65, and my entire life I've had people tell me I don't look my age. For
Same
the
here.
First 40 years, that went in one ear and out the other. But when I turned 40, I realized I was hearing this a lot, and I started paying more attention to it, and I think it must have something to do with my eating habits. That's the only thing I can think. And I'm just, I don't know, I'm just becoming a little bit more of an advocate of healthy eating, and I think true conservatives treat their body like a temple. I'm not a fanatic, and I'm not a vegetarian, by the way, and I'm not a fanatic about this, but I just don't think, I think people have gotten kind of lazy about eating healthy.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation for this obesity epidemic.
Well, it's because of our life.
People, they're just not trying. Let me put it that way.
They're not trying, and everything is designed in food to make you fatter, to crave more things. It's designed in foods. Yes. I suggest that people do, if they're going to do one thing, lay off of sugar for 3 days. Sugar's in everything, but don't take a candy bar. Don't take M&Ms. Don't do this. Don't put sugar in your coffee. Use honey. And it takes, I think it's three days or 2 weeks for the sugar to get out of your system. And then you start feeling better. It's an addictive substance. So we're using more and more honey, my wife and I. In fact, we got a distiller, and we're even using distilled water now. Try it, because we don't, you know, we don't know what's in the water. So we're using just a distiller. We just put water in and clean it once a week. But we're getting distilled water. You know, just trying to eat better. And I'm even growing my own veggies
now.
Yeah,
I don't know if this topic just bores people to tears because nobody ever talks about it. I mean, like I said, it's not a hot button topic, but I think it should be.
Yeah, it is.
Something that comes up every once in a while.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, eating natural food. In fact, Jack LaLanne, you knew who he was, right?
Yeah, I remember Jack, yeah.
So his philosophy was to eat what's alive and don't eat processed food. You know, you take an apple off a tree and you'll eat it. It's still technically alive while you're chewing on it. And stay away from manufactured stuff like cheeses and breads. And this is what he did. On his, for his 65th birthday, I saw the film, the video and stuff, the pictures and stuff. He swam from Alcatraz Island to shore, you know, in San Francisco Bay, with his hands handcuffed and his feet shackled. And in his mouth was a rope, and he pulled rowboats with 100 people in all the way to shore. And then when he got out, he did 1,000 push-ups.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing. All right, we're out of time, buddy. Okay, we've got to go. Hey, folks, there you go. We got 5 open lines, wide open, bottom of the hour. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show at the bottom of the hour. It's a slow Friday. We don't have anybody waiting right now, so why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. So I thought I might jump back into another hate mail because I got a good one. I was reading it during the break. I'm like, what? So if you call me and ask me to make sense of this, I won't be able to. But let's see. He says, I do not think you know very much about the true Christianity. I guess it didn't. After Jesus Christ obtains the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ orders the saved to go after the cross for Christ. The leader is made Marian's dad. Made Marian's dad. Meeting up with God in heaven, Maid Marian's dad discovers that a marker that reveals the location of the cross for Christ is in the dungeon of God's one true temple. Escaping from Jews, fire, gunmen, and a ship, Maid Marian discovers that her dad is being held in Moses' desert. When she and Jesus reach the desert, Maid Marian locates her father, but Maid Marian proves herself a commandment. Proves herself a commandment. And even worse, Walter Donovan. What the heck? After Maid Marian and Jesus escape the desert, they head to Berlin. This is written by, This is written by a couple of monkeys after a weekend tequila binge. It's not working. Okay. After Maid Mary and Jesus escape the desert, they head to Berlin to get Peter's faith. Hey, Peter, where's your faith? I don't know. I lost it in Berlin. I was walking along. I checked my pockets. Hey, where's my faith? It's gone. So Peter's faith is in, it's in Berlin. Wow, this is awesome. You know, hope they don't have to tell me. Could you imagine? You're walking along, you got your faith there, and you reach in your pocket, you pull it out, and a street sweeper comes along and puts it in the trash. Then what do you do? Wow. Anyway, so he went to Berlin to get Peter's faith that provides apocalyptic information to those who seek the cross for Christ. Oh, a lot of explanation marks. You need this. Capital. So Peter, however, is preached by Jesus in Jerusalem, and Maid Marian met up with Paul write the Bible. They run into Jews and a huge sermon ensues. That's cool. They run into Jews and a huge sermon ensues. I like that. It's pretty cool. Maid Marian and Jesus obtain the cross for Christ. Man. Wow. Okay. Maid Mary and Jesus obtain the cross of Christ for Christ and they and gain eternal life, giving the world a future of faith. Will Jesus Christ and the pastor, Peter, teach and send the Christians of darkness marching all over America? I will pray for you. Wow. That is awesome. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, you know, sometimes... Sometimes, I'm telling you, man, it's cracking me up. Them comments from the people in the chat room. Okay, all right. Okay, now, I gotta get serious. Wait. What for one should believe Jesus if heaven is also a perishable object according to him in Matthew 24? Is it not virtually a blasphemy of Bible Father? What is the use of going on to another perishable place called heaven like earth? Is Bible God confused after becoming a man Jesus? Think seriously. Wow, this is awesome. Oh, think seriously. Oh, okay, I'll think seriously now. I didn't know what to do. Thank you very much. Sorry, I can't help it. Oh, man. Okay, let's get to Julia from South Carolina. Hey, Julia, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, thank you. I do have a question, but mm-hmm. I wanted to comment on the obesity mm-hmm. because one thing that you did not touch on was Price. And I have been around a lot of Price. It is Price. Much cheaper to eat fast food and bread. Yeah. You know, the good foods mm-hmm. are more expensive. And some people cannot buy the best food because they don't have the money.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of the fast food's cheap. It's tasty, but it's loaded with chemicals, preservatives, fat, and things that get your body dependent on it. If you go to YouTube and you look up healthy diet and you start watching some stuff, there's a lot of stuff. It'll scare you what's in our food. It will. It's bad.
Well, it will, and I mm-hmm. am not overweight, and I'm blessed to be able to buy whatever food I want. Mm-hmm. But I've known a lot of people who have several children and not much money, and they would go where you get five burgers for $5, and that's what they right. ate.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're doing the best they can, but their best sure. isn't really very good.
Yeah, and I understand. That's a okay, whole, I'm now glad you brought that up. I'm so glad because we don't want to guilt whip people into submission. And you're a sinner if, you know, you can't eat right and stuff. That is such a good point. I'm so thankful you're saying that.
Well, thank you. Now, I have a question. Lately, I have had several people just refute things that to me are biblical. I was talking to a friend who is a Christian, I thought. Yesterday, and we were talking about different denominations, and I said, well, I don't want to go to a church that accepts gay marriage. And she said, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. They're just people. And why shouldn't they be able to have lives just like other couples? Mm. Well, I just looked at her. I don't know how to respond.
Well, is she claiming to be a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. Then ask her, has she studied this issue according to the revelation of God's word? And she will have said something to the effect of no. And then what she's doing is submitting to God's word to her feelings, her sensibilities. Now she needs to read about Sodom and Gomorrah and Genesis 18-19 range, how the homosexuals there were aggressive. And this is one of the things that happens. And, go ahead.
I agree. I don't have a problem. But, you know, she said, well, that was just cultural. When Paul talked about that, that was just cultural.
Oh, no.
Well, no, it wasn't.
No. Yeah, it was not
but
cultural.
I don't know how to say it wasn't cultural.
Here, you say it like this. It wasn't cultural.
Okay, I will say, Matt Slick said it isn't cultural.
It's not cultural. And here, think about this. You just ask her, well, what did God make? Did he make homosexuals? Or did he make, a male and a female and commanded them? So is homosexuality the fulfillment of what God had created? Or is it something that is the result of sin in the world? Because it has to be the result of sin. But it is. It's sinful.
That's a good answer. That's good. Matt, I listen to you so much, and you help me so much, and I just want you to stay on the air.
Why, do you know something I don't?
No, I just don't want you to go anywhere, because when I need something about a scripture, I look on Carm, and it's there, and
well,
I'm
good.
So thankful.
Well, you know, praise God. We're expanding it more, and we're going to be doing more video work. We're working on that, and we're trying. We're just trying to do the best we can for what we've got, and by God's grace. And, you know, you've got to give kudos to the radio station, the network that keeps me on the air, because they could, let's just say, be making more money with my slot than what I'm getting. So they're not doing it for money. And we don't have a lot of money. We are, you know, we're a ministry. But we want to get on more stations, but we just don't have the money for it. And I've been asked. Other networks have said, hey, we want you on. Well, we just don't have it. But nevertheless, let them know. Email them and say, hey, thanks for having these people on and being faithful to the word of God and things like that. It's good. You know, they need to hear that too.
Well, thank you. And, I hope to hear you some more. Bye-bye, Matt. God bless you.
You should call up the office, talk to my wife, and tell her she needs to listen to me more because, people like to listen to me. I wish my wife did.
Well, your wife sounds very happy and healthy and helpful, so I think I'll leave her alone.
Yeah, she's, just so you know, she's got a lot of health issues, but she's a good woman, and she really... I'm trying to get her.
I heard you saying how slender she was.
Yeah, she is.
And your slender is always good.
Yeah. And back in the day, she's a very good looking woman. Yeah, she's a very good looking woman. And no one could believe she's dating me. It's like, she went down to the slime pool. But that's okay. Oh, there's a break. We got to go. Okay? All right. God bless.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Bye.
Hey, folks, we have wide open lines. Why don't you give me a call for the last segment at 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Give me a call for open lines, 877-207-2276. Hey, Alberto from Georgia, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. How you doing, Matt Slick?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, man.
Yeah, I got a
what
question
you got?
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how come the sinners will call Christians hypocrites all the time, and then when tragedy happens, suddenly they want to call a pastor to pray for them, and Christians pray for them. We want to call the stripper, we spend their money on the bars, that we spend their money. I want to call the bartenders and strippers to pray for them, and see if they call them hypocrites and they don't show up to pray for them when tragedy happens in their life.
Because they're hypocrites? That's why.
You said it. You said all this stuff.
It comes to my mind.
Well, that's it, man. It's because they're hypocrites. Yeah, they're inconsistent. Yeah, that's what it is.
So, I mean, they don't call the strippers the hypocrites and bartenders hypocrites, but they don't show up to pray for them when they're tragedy. Oh, they were Christians who the whole time waiting for them to come to church. They call them hypocrites. But suddenly when tragedy comes, oh, pastor, pray for me with a deathbed, lying, dying left. So they want to call the preacher to pray for them and the Christian to pray for them.
Yeah.
Well, people spend all their money on the strip clubs and bartenders, call them to pray for them.
Man, because maybe they hope they get in contact with the divine and such, so they go to pastors and things like that. I don't know. But that's what it is. So, you know, that's it. There are a lot of hypocrites out there. A lot of people who are inconsistent within Christianity as well. All right, buddy?
All right. Thank you. God bless.
All right, man. Okay, God bless. Okay. All right. Now, we were talking a little bit ago about homosexuality and stuff. And, that's right. The lady was saying, what do you say to someone, you know, when they say, it's okay to just love each other? Well, not really. No, who says so? Think about it. What do you mean, can't love each other? Can't marry the one you love? Well, I'm already married. I'm not going to, you know, fall in love with my neighbor's wife and say, I'm going to marry that person instead. It doesn't, just because you love somebody doesn't mean it's right. You know, it doesn't mean that's what makes it okay. What if you love your car? You want to marry it? Some people want to. What about the children pedophilia thing? So, you know, I don't talk too much about people in the car, kids in the car, but, you know, the thing is, with the homosexual community, they are all already free to marry like anybody else. But what they want is the definition of marriage changed to suit their behavior. Now, think about it. It's behavior. It's not an issue of who you love, because that doesn't justify marriage. Like I said, I'm married to my wife, and if I love another woman, which is not going to happen, but if I did, and I say, oh, I want to marry her instead of my wife, it just makes it okay. It's because, yeah, it's the way I'm born, you know. I like blondes instead of brunettes, or brunettes instead of blondes, or whatever it is, and that's why I want to, you know, just because I need to be free. Well, freedom comes with responsibility, but so few people want to exercise that responsibility. They don't want to do that. They want to go after their feelings. They want to feel good, and they want to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And this is what, you know, it says in 1 John 2, where is that? I have to find that. Where it talks about this whole issue of the lustful desire of flesh and life and things like this. But homosexuals and the LGBT community will say, well, homosexuality is in the in nature, among animals. So therefore, it's natural. This is one of the arguments they've actually given. But that doesn't work, because in nature, they also eat their young and eat other, of the same species, eat them alive. Does that make it okay? Because that's what nature does? Well, of course not. But yet what they'll do is they'll use homosexuality occurs in nature, therefore it's okay. Well, then I guess it's okay to eat your children too, right? Because that occurs in nature, right? And from an evolutionary perspective, how does it further the kingdom? Or excuse me, how does it further the species? You know, this is an internal critique on their position. How does homosexuality work and benefit the furthering of the species and evolution? It doesn't. But anyway, now let's just say, you know, are the homosexuals born that way? Does that make it okay? They say they're born that way, and, you know, so you shouldn't deny them what they feel, what they need. Well, being born that way doesn't make it okay. Because what if I'm born to be a liar? I just love to lie. Does that make it okay? Of course not. Just because you have a tendency or claim to have a tendency doesn't mean it's morally right. And you'll notice, have you ever on TV
ever, in all these decades, ever seen a debate on this topic, homosexuality, for and against, with a competent opponent? I haven't even heard of it. I've never seen it. And you know why? Because they don't want the other side heard, only their own. Let's see. So yeah, they're already free to marry the people of the opposite sex, the same as anyone else. They can still own businesses and property, have relations with whom they desire, but they want to have all of society follow their definition of what marriage is. And so, statistically, something like 96 to 98% of all people in the United States are straight, are heterosexual. So I think half of what's left over claims to be in the LGBTQ kind of realm, and the other remaining, I think, half a percent or something, 3/4% didn't really say anything, didn't answer the questionnaire. And so the thing is that it looks like roughly 98% of all people, you know, are straight. Why is it then that we have a disproportional amount of representation in radio, in books, in magazines, in TV, in sitcoms and movies, where homosexuals, LGBTQ, this, that, are more and more prominent, and yet they don't represent the population expression? But I'll tell you one thing, though. Christians are you know, 10-20 real Christians, 10-20% of the population, that kind of a thing. And yet when they're represented on TV, they're represented as evil bigots. You know, so the homosexual community wants fairness of representation, right? No, they don't. Because they don't fight for fairness or representation of others, just what they claim for themselves. They're hypocrites. So freedom requires responsibility. Now, health. Why is homosexuality protected under the law? See, it's protected by the government. But now I'm going to be careful how I say this stuff, because there might be children around. So I'm going to be very vague. 28% of the males involved with that have excessive number of partners, and I'll leave it at that. 43%. It's half of that super excessive number. I mean, jaw-dropping numbers. Like, and then a lot of them are strangers. In 2008, over 1.1 million people in the United States were infected with HIV, as according to the CDC. 19% of some of that stuff are infected with HIV. 44% are unaware that they're affected, and yet they promiscuity abounds. Worldwide, approximately one in every 100 adults ages 15 to 49 is HIV infected. This is statistics from about 5 or 7 years ago, I believe. So, any rate, population percentages. Yeah, 96.6% of adults identified as straight in the 2013 NHIS data. 1.6 identified as gay, lesbian, 0.7 as bisexual. The remaining 1.1% of adults identified as something else. So that's it. Is there a fair representation? No, it's not fair. It's an agenda. They're pushing it. And they want it in your schools for your children. They want your children to be brainwashed into their leftist, immoral, sinful lifestyle and approve of it. Let me tell you what happens when that happens. Those who approve of it will hate Christ because of what Christianity says. This is wrong. God says it's wrong. Then they will deny Christ, and they will deny those whom they call unfair bigots. And they'll oppress them. They will oppress us. This is what is going to happen. It is going to happen. And let's see. So I could talk about some other stuff on it. I won't. We'll just get to the caller. Let's see. Martin from Virginia. Hey, Martin, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Hey, Matt. Hey, God bless. Thanks for your ministry still.
Sure.
Hey, I just missed out on last night's call. I tried to get in the last minute there. I think that was one of the more funniest, lighthearted, jovial nights you had. There was so much. I can't tell you how many times sandwiches were being made during the call. It was just very funny. It was pretty good.
I tease the ladies about sandwiches because in VeggieTales, I forgot who, what queen got kicked out of the kingdom because she wouldn't make her husband a sandwich. And so I heard that. I went, hey, hon. So that's how it started. So hey, she just rolled her eyes.
Right there.
There you go. Came out of VeggieTales. So I've been hammering it ever since. It's a lot of fun. Okay.
So you were talking about homosexuality and some other items. And this crazy kind of woke Disney stuff is just—it's just sad to see. It's sad to see them spiral down so bad, and just turn so far to the minority that they are really going to get hurt. Yeah, they really are. I mean, I've been there 5 times, counting in California and Florida. Mm-hmm. My wife and daughter have been there 7 times, and we are never going back.
That's right. I used to live in Anaheim, where Disneyland is housed, and you know, I used to go there, have a pass, and the whole bit. Not anymore. If I lived back there, I wouldn't go. I don't trust them.
Yeah,
yeah, it's done.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. They're kind of caving to a very, very few minority, and there's nothing wrong with being a minority. Obviously, it's fine being a minority. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you try to kowtow to things that can't scientifically back up, and you can't have any moral or definition of good or bad that backs it up, then you're really cutting out most of the folks that just aren't vocal, and they'll vocalize it with their wallet later.
Well, you know, the majority of the people are peace-loving. You know, they want to work hard, they want to provide for their family, they want to go out and have fun, they don't want any trouble. And so most people will just kind of relax when this kind of idiocy goes on. They go, oh, it'll pass. But they've got to realize that passivity is an involuntary form of approval. And we've got to make sure that we don't support. We've got to hit them where it counts. But they only need to listen. They don't care about morality. They care about the pocketbook. And so...
Well, we will all make choices. In the end, we will make a choice. And might as well make an educated choice, you know.
Yeah.
Read up, learn, listen. Yeah.
In my opinion, Christians should not go to Disneyland. They should not participate in certain movies or sitcoms. I know of Christian youth who'll watch these trash programs of gossip, and they think it's wonderful. They just deny Christ. So what we're getting is a debauched society, and it's going to fail. Our society's going to crumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough watching even your own child that gets into more self-awareness type things that you're like, come on, there's more to the world out there than just a picture of yourself.
That's right. Bad news, and there's the break. Okay, buddy. Hey, God bless, man. Thanks for calling. All right.
Yep, bye.
Okay. Hey, folks, there we go. I hope you all have a great weekend. By His grace, we're back on the air on Monday. We'll talk to you then. So God bless, everybody. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.